Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. Radio City, New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Bert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Shipp, Charlie Irving, Al Kelly, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Kelly. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you're great.
This Thursday marks the opening of the New York horse racing season at the Jamaica Track. We now bring you a comedian who has put everything he has on the horses.
That's right.
And it looks better on the horses than it does on him. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Everything I had on the horses, huh? You call me Milton Berle. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and good evening. Mr. Gallup, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait for the racetracks to open, the crowds, the excitement. Then that moment when everybody screams, they're off, they're off, they're off. That day I come home without pants. Boy, I bet on a horse today. Do I have luck with horses? I bet on a horse started from a kneeling position. That's the way the horses shouldn't start. Billy, I put $50 on the horse's nose. He ran as if he was balancing it. Really, I don't bet horses now to win, place, or show. I bet them to live. Really, I must tell you, I bet a horse yesterday, in the middle of the race, he turned to the jockey and he said, what are you whipping me for? There's nobody behind me. Really?
Berle, no one is interested in your pool room commentary on horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
Today, people are interested in politics.
That's true, Mr. Gallup. In all the commotion and excitement over politics, one question is on everybody's lips.
Yes?
One burning question is confronting the nation.
What is it?
Will Truman's porch have a swing? Oh, poor Harry. I'm not saying President Truman is worried about the elections, but for the last 2 weeks, instead of the Missouri Waltz, all he keeps playing is Just One More Chance. Thank you. You're a Republican, this gentleman? Oh, Mr. Gallup, do you notice I'm hot tonight? Hot tonight.
You got a little too hot. You made an ash of yourself.
Oh, please, Mr. Gallup, watch those jokes. You really? There's an old Chinese saying, Mr. Gallup, Announcer who tries to be comedy relief on program soon wind up with no program and no relief. I told it wrong. But what is imagine if I told it right, how bad it would have been. But what's a program? What's a program to you, Mr. Gallup? You can always be a disc jockey. With that nose, you can save $5 a week in needles alone, you know. That's a nose. That looks like an Eversharp that's been overclicked. Some jokes, eh, Mr. Gallup? There's more where those jokes came from.
And when Bob Hope isn't looking, you'll get those, too.
Now, look!
Oh, I do declare that was a jolly rejoinder.
Yes! Oh, that was absolutely jazzy. Mr. Gallup, I suppose that your family was interested in horse racing?
The Gallups of Boston interested in horse racing? Mm-hmm. Not likely.
Oh, but Mr. Gallup, the biggest names in society are connected with racing. The Astors, the Vanderbilts.
Those peasants.
Got a bigger laugh than I thought. Didn't your family, Mr. Gallup, ever take an interest in horses?
Well, Dad, or Mr. Gallup, as Mother used to call him.
She used to call him Mr. Yeah. Gallup, I see.
Dad was quite the horseman around Boston. He used to ride on the Back Bay section.
He used to ride on the Back Bay section? Why?
How else should he ride? On his stomach?
Thought that would be a belly laugh, didn't you? I suppose your family had your own stable?
Naturally. Dad used to spend so much time in the stables, Mother wouldn't let him in the house.
That was before they were married?
That was before Airwick.
Mr. Gallup, I must say, the stories of your family are regular saggers. They sagger in the middle and lay there at the end. But on with the show tonight as we salute the sport of kings, horse racing. Every spring, with the opening of the racetracks, New York becomes racetrack conscious. The lure of the big winnings, the excitement of betting, draws thousands of eager fans to the track. Even the trains that take you to Jamaica go tout tout. Yes? You're with me, aren't you? I'm having fun up here. Join me. They go tout tout. I'll go back again. Yes? In just a little while, when you hear that familiar sound, it will mean only one thing. You're 1A. But ladies... but ladies and gentlemen... but you've had experience. But ladies and gentlemen, all kidding aside, if you are planning on betting money on the horses this year, you should know the basic rules of betting. And for that reason, we have with us tonight one of the country's leading track authorities, Mr. Jock Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Finster, to what do you owe your tremendous success at the racetrack?
It's very simple.
It is?
I see my bookie. I find out what the odds would be on the Bud, because whatever is scratched has not even taken back without my blood. Now, I can't expect it to go on across the board parley to anybody has his own round robin. But mine is always a parley for the profit, because that's always a revolt without knowing my own flag. I haven't eaten in 5 days.
Well, Mr. Finster, how does a person place a bet with a bookie?
Well, there's a bookie at 143 Strutterwatt Avenue near the Clybake. You see?
I see.
He's in the back of a small little cottage store, which is taken up 2 blocks from Vision Green Cycle. Now, if you can't find it, ask any policeman. Now, you tell him that you want to see Charlie Morgenthau.
Who's the fellow?
That's Morgenthau.
Oh,
he's the one that has a glass.
Yeah,
yes,
sure, yeah.
Now, he'll take you around to the back where you'll see a sign that says, positively no climbing or vandalizing without a court for
spells. Spell it.
No, I can't spell it. Now, you see what you do? You walk right in. But don't come too early.
Why? Can't come early?
No. You see, because his wife has been taking the floor. She doesn't know it's my place without having a sleep. They haven't got a shower curtain.
Mr. Finster, you've attended every big horse race in the last 20 years. What was the most thrilling?
Well, it was the famous Kleagle Clutch Derby that was run at that Adobe Snuffix race at a down with a flat. It was in August of 1907, Blim. The favorite was Schmalman Boy.
Schmalman Boy.
Yes, yes. You see, he was the son of Bezat out of Slimy.
I see what you mean. Yes, go on. And what about the race?
Well, suddenly the bell rang and it all off in a cloud of yikes. It was Quick Nicholas Price, followed by Billy Bitts in second. And there goes Snub W running around at five, without knowing that the big grade back without the rear. He's got it at fourth grade. And right there, when it came in, into the stretch, they were running knip to knib, without knowing that it had a grade back, because we have a climber, and there's always a track. It was a photo finish.
Gosh, a photo finish? Who won?
Nobody knows. The pictures haven't come back from the drugstore yet.
Thank you, Mr. Finster. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to tell you that Mr. Finster is the author. Mr. Finster is the author. If it isn't one thing, it's an author. Mr. Finster is the author of that very bestseller, How to Mix Dope and Influence Horses, on sale at better bookie stores. Ah, Mr. Gallup, going to the races in the old days meant something more than just betting. It was a fashion parade. Remember how you used to dress in your Sunday best? As you walked with that one and only girl, and you sang, in your sweet little Alice blue gown, when I first wandered down into town, T-O-W-N. Take off your gloves this time. Ah, Cynthia. Precious memories of Cynthia at the racetrack. I remember that straw hat you used to wear with the holes cut out for ears. Yes, it was your clothes that drew me to you, Cynthia. You looked as though you'd been poured into a mold. You were pretty. You were pretty moldy. Lovely Cynthia. Lovely Cynthia. She had a face that grew on you. If it grew on me, I would have chopped it off. Remember, Cynthia? Remember how I used to take you to the dog races and how proud I was coming home with you trotting beside me with a rabbit in your mouth? You funny little bunny. Ah, Cynthia, my little melancholy baby. You had a head like a melon and a face like a collie. But it was the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. Your tinkling little laugh That night at the garden when Tony Galento gave you the knee. Yes, Cynthia, in your Alice blue gown. You had to wear blue. That's all they gave you at the reformatory. So until she gets out, I'll keep singing. There's nothing can save her except good behavior in her sweet little Alice blue gown. Here's Ken Roberts.
Sometime tomorrow, thousands of you who are listening to me now will be buying cigarettes. Tomorrow, as always, you'll have a choice. You can ask for any one of a dozen different brands, or you can ask for Philip Morris. I'd like to tell you why you're better off, far better off, if your choice is Philip Morris. And I'd like to tell it to you not in my words, but in words written by one of America's top-ranking doctors, an eminent nose and throat specialist. Listen to what the doctor had to say.
There is no doubt in my mind that Philip Morris cigarettes are much less irritating than other cigarettes.
And now listen to the doctor's conclusion.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Remember, if your cigarette leaves your throat dry and parched, if it makes you cough or leaves a stale, musty taste in your mouth, these definitely are reasons for a change to Philip Morris. So join the thousands who every day are joining the millions who call for Philip Morris. And remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Big brand from Brazil. That's enough. Thank you. Very good. That was the Big Brass Band from Brazil, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. Mr. Block, thank you very much. Wonderful, Ray. Good old Ray. He started out to be a long-haired musician, but he gave it up for two reasons. No money, no hair. No joke, small laugh. And now, as we continue with our salute to the opening of the Jamaica racetrack, we present...
Horse race for them tonight. Horse race for them tonight. The question... Is Milton Berle's mother-in-law his favorite nag?
Thank you. I won. Let us commence with questions from the Orient. Orient. All right. Let's start with this gentleman in the third row putting the muzzle on his little boy. Yes, sir?
Mr. Berle, I'd like to go horseback riding with my wife.
Well, what's stopping you?
I can't get a saddle to fit her.
Thank you, Roy Rogers. Let us go on. I'm on the trigger. Let us go on. This young man in the first row digging the golf ball out of the hole in his head. The young man, what is your name?
My name is Chanel Number 5.
Chanel Number 5?
My father named me that because he said I should have been put in a bottle.
Oh, I understand.
I'm always tinkering around with perfume bottles.
You tinker with perfume bottles?
Yeah, I'm the biggest tinker in the neighborhood.
I get it.
For me, the name Chanel Number 5 is a great improvement over my real name.
What was your real name?
Beth.
All right, Beth. You have a question that you... You have a question... I like that word. Beth. Spell backwards. Hep. You have a question that has to do with horse racing.
What's the matter, Jack? You busting into a new racket all of a sudden?
No, I just
to make a buck. Next, you'll be picking pockets on the subway.
If you'll...
You'll be satisfied until you get more money than Bing Crosby and Bobo Rockefeller.
That's not
What's the use? Even if you could take it with you, you still need someone to help you carry it.
If you're
so loaded, you can finance the whole Marshall plan with just what's in your money belt.
Please.
I your mother's bank book.
Please. Don't applaud. That's why he keeps coming back every week. Now, let us go on to the ladies. All right, this lady in the aisle helping her squirrel coat look for nuts. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with horses.
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from being so crazy about horse racing? He's so horsey, he sits on a chair side saddle.
Your husband is a horse lover?
Yeah, he even went out and bought himself a horse. It's very confusing when my husband rides a horse.
It's confusing?
Yeah, you can't tell where the horse leaves off and my husband begins.
I get it.
Him and his horse. The other day I come home and they were taking a bath together.
Mrs. Feeney, your husband took a bath with a horse?
He took the horse's shoes off, eh?
Oh.
What do you think? He he's a slob or something?
No. He and the horse sound like they're very attached.
They are. Sometimes they even go out drinking together.
Wait a minute. The horse drinks with your husband?
Only my husband drinks. The horse has to drive.
Tell me, Mrs. Feeney, does your husband still have the horse?
I give it to him straight. I says, Feeney, I refuse to live with a dumb animal. I'll not live with a beast.
And the horse went?
The horse stayed. My husband went.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as a fitting climax to our racing forum for tonight, it is an honor to present that internationally famous horseman known to racing fans as the King of the Turf, that strapping, burly sportsman, Tommy Longshot Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. I heartily seize upon this glorious opportunity to say hi to the thousands of racing fans who've come out to the track looking for the pot of gold and gone home without a pot.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I lean against you? I'm really exhausted.
You're tired?
This morning I changed into a new union suit. Mm. The flap is dragging me down.
But a flap isn't heavy.
Well, you don't understand. This one has a lock on it.
Oh. I see. Mr. Featherfield, how did you ever get into racing?
My father was a gambler. He was a card sharp.
A card sharp?
Mr. Burrell, my father had so many aces up his sleeve, they used to shuffle his coat.
Your dad was a slick operator?
Dad was so oily, when he died, they just squirted him into the ground.
Well, how did your father meet his end?
They bent him over a rail, and there it was.
Mr. Featherfield, I got it. Mr. Featherfield, there certainly is a lot of romance connected with racing.
How about that?
Yes, how about that?
That's how I met my wife, if you'll pardon the expression.
You met your wife at the racetrack?
It was a horse auction. I thought I was getting a 2-year-old.
And?
She turned out to be a 52-year-old.
Mr. Featherfield, that's ridiculous, implying that you couldn't tell your wife from a horse.
Mr. Burrell, have you ever seen my wife?
No.
Then shut up.
But it's fantastic, you insisting that your wife is a horse.
Mr. Burrell, you've heard of Flicka, father of Thunderhead?
Yes.
Who do you think was the mother?
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing Haunted Heart.
In the night, though we're apart, there's a ghost of you within my haunted heart. Ghost of you, my lost romance. Lips that laugh, eyes that dance. Haunted heart, let me be. Dreams repeat a sweet but lonely song to me. Dreams are dust, it's you who must belong to me. And thrill my heart at heart. Be still. Dust, it's you who must belong to me and thrill my haunted heart. Be still, my haunted heart.
How's it, Barney? Take a bow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Now to get back to horse racing, Mr. Gallup.
Yes.
Mr. Gallup, let me tell you what happened to me last year. Speaking of horse racing, my wife insisted on my taking her to the racetrack. We were home dressing, and I'll never forget. Darling, honey, are you ready?
Yes, Milton, I'm all dressed.
Well, let's go. Oh, no, you're not wearing that Easter hat to the track. Those horses scare easily.
Milton, this hat is stunning. It stopped traffic on Fifth Avenue Easter morning, didn't it?
Yeah, people thought it was the new Tucker. Let's see, I have my binoculars and the money. 100, 200.
Milton, you're not betting all that money.
This is $500 that the boys at the Friars Club raised to bet on a sure thing. Flying meatball. They asked me to place the bet for them at the racetrack.
Where did those bums get $500?
Now, please, don't call them bums all the time. They're my friends.
All right, but check on that money. See if they at least printed the right president on it this time.
That's very funny. I wish I'd have said it.
You will.
You will, you will. You. Come on, let's go.
Attention, please. The next race is the featured Suckatonian handicap.
Milton, this is so exciting.
Oh, quick, dear. I have to place that $500 bet for the boys.
Milton, give me the money. I've always wanted the thrill of going to the $500 window.
Okay, here. Now, remember, the horse is Flying Meatball.
Flying Meatball.
That's right.
Pardon me, friend.
Get away from me.
Shall you betting on that dog Flying Meatball?
Get away, please.
Flying Meatball hasn't got a chance. He perspires too much.
He perspires too much?
They just run him to help keep the dust down.
Dear, go to the window.
Milton, we can't bet a horse that perspires.
Look, it's not our money. Go to the window.
The race is fixed for Happy Feinschmecker to win.
Happy Feinschmecker?
Can't lose. The horse has got 6 batteries and a man from General Electric under his saddle.
Dear, will you go to the window?
But the man said Happy Feinschmecker.
Go to the window.
Burl.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gallup.
Burl, did I hear you mention Flying Meatball?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with Flying Meatball?
Oh, nothing. Personally, I admire the horse's courage running against horses with 4 legs.
You mean Flying Meatball
3?
Yeah.
We're not going to bet Flying...
Quiet. It's not our money. Go to the window.
But Mr. Gallup said that Flying...
Go to the window.
Hiya, Milty.
Oh, no, not here.
And look, Milton, it's Sam and Martha Harrison.
No kidding. I thought it was Ronnie and Benita. Hello, Sam.
Milty, coming out here, I said the only sure thing at a racetrack is running into Burl. Isn't that just what I said, Martha?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Martha. I didn't recognize you with those blinkers on. Dear, stop hanging around. Go to the window.
But it's throwing money away, betting on Flying Meatball.
You're betting on Flying Meatball? Did you hear that, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, we only have 2 minutes to place the bet.
That's enough time to get your money down on Happy Feinschmecker.
You see, Milton?
Go to the window.
But Martha's brother is a jockey. Say, Martha.
Yes.
Last Saturday night.
Yes.
When you saw your brother?
Yes.
And you asked him about this race?
Yes.
And he told you how to bet?
Yes.
Didn't he say Happy Feinschmecker?
Yes.
Sam, please. You don't know. It's not my money.
Attention, please. The horses are at the post.
Here, go and make the bet.
But Milton, betting on Flying Meatball is just throwing away money.
Go to the window.
Happy Feinschmecker can't lose.
Go to the window.
You'll be saving their money.
Go to the window.
I'm betting on Happy Feinschmecker.
Give me the money. I'll make the bet.
No.
Go to the window.
But Milton...
Look, Flying Meatball is 20 to 1. If he wins, the boys expect $10,000. I'd have to make it good.
But Flying Meatball can't
go. Go to the window.
Oh, all right, no gambler's
luck. Boy, hope she gets there in time.
Betting Flying Meatball. What a sucker you are, Burl.
Yes.
I told you it's not my money.
Attention, the horses are ready. Get off! Flying Meatball is out like a flash. He's in front by 8 lengths.
You see, I told you. Come on, Flying Meatball.
I made the bet, Milton.
Good. Come on, Flying Meatball.
I bet on Happy Feinschmecker.
Well, come on. Yeah. Feinschmecker. No.
Flying Meatball in front by 15 lengths. Then there's little Billy running around the bend, one neck by a nose of Gigi. And Blimey is coming back in the track. And there goes Ivan closing in on his face. And Feinschmecker.
No, no, do something. Somebody, trip him, trip him, trip him.
Milton, which way are they running?
Away from Feinschmecker.
It's flying meatball by 20 lengths, little diggies by 3, devil noses by a stump, and there goes tide of inflammatory by 2. And Feinschmecker.
Wait till the boys get me.
Milton, what does that and mean?
That you're practically a widow. Come on, Feinschmecker.
Coming into the stretch, it's flying meatball by 40 lengths, little baby by a 1, Iggy by 2, and there goes devil's light and another climb. And so we take him back to space. And Feinschmecker.
Hurry, Feinschmecker, hurry.
Go to the window.
And here's the finish. And the winner is flying meatball, followed by little Ivan, favorite twilight. And there goes little Iggy on the train. And then hanging with a problem.
Milton, stop staring at me.
Go to the window.
They all said Feinschmecker.
Go to the window.
Just explain to the boys what happened.
Go to the window.
Milton, now I'll tell you my surprise.
Go to the window. Surprise?
Yes, just to protect the bet.
Yes, yes.
I had $2 on flying meatball.
Good. $2? No, I'm leaving the country. I'm hiding away on the desert island, away from the boys, where I can be all alone with nothing but palm trees, coconuts.
And Feinschmecker!
Go to the window, will you? Go to the window. Thank you. I'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime...
Friends, remember the words of the eminent nose and throat specialist whose statement you heard a little while ago.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Yes, there's a difference in Philip Morris that distinguishes it from any other leading brand. And to you, that difference means a cleaner smoke, a fresher, milder smoke than you've ever known before. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Thank you, Ken. This is your girlfriend, Milton, saying good night. See you next Tuesday. Good night, Mom. Good night.
For a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke, join the millions who call for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Oh, Philip
Morris! Hello, hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.